This is the Covenant Condition and Restrictions Committee meeting, Monday, March 4th, 2024. It is now 5:31 p.m. And would you do a roll call?
Absolutely. Okay, Chair Dunn.
Present.
Vice Chair Bazette.
Present.
Director Israel.
Present.
Committee Member Candace O'Cowan.
Present.
And Committee Member Eastwood is absent.
Okay. Thank you. Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it's called. The principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on any item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. Okay, the first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move.
Move.
I'll second that.
Okay. Move and seconded.
All in favor,
say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Hearing no objection, the approval of the agenda is now accepted. The second item on the agenda, approval of the confirmed agenda from February 5th, 2024. Do we have a motion to approve the confirmed agenda?
A motion.
Okay.
I second that motion.
Thank you, Candace. Thank you, Sid. We have a motion to approve the confirmed agenda from February 5th, 2024, seconded. And those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. So moved. The approval of the confirmed agenda is now accepted. Open forum. Members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Are you here to speak? And
is your item on the agenda, or is it something not on the agenda?
Not on the agenda.
Okay.
It's agenda adjacent.
Okay.
Fire away.
It's on you.
Please.
Please provide your name.
I will. My name's Kevin Cooksey, and I'm just Mr. Moe's example of pictures. I live on Granada Drive, about a 30-plus year resident, and appreciate what you guys do on the CCNR committee. I was the former interim manager for the airport district and running the airport, so I appreciate the effort. In fact, Mr. Mogan, I think shortly after you started, we gathered for a short little while to try to get a little better cooperation in the neighborhood there.
We met. Okay.
That actually worked.
Good, thank you.
So I ran through the agenda and was pleased to be reminded of this tool called the Neighborhood Campaign. And that's why I'm here tonight. I noticed that the one that's on here at 5C is Cameron Park North 8, which is where I live. And you're going to talk to some folks over that street. And I'm here just to ask that maybe you would consider coming around the corner and extending that to Granada Drive for the reasons that I have in there. We've got a lot of use of the front yard for all kinds of interesting things, which I'm sure is not out of the ordinary for Cameron Park. So if you would consider it, I would be obliged.
Did you want to share with us what some of the issues might be?
I think it's a lot of what you're very familiar with. There are...
There is evidence shown there.
Yeah, just an increase of boats in the front yard, watercraft in the front yard, fifth wheels. Not in the driveway, just in the front yard. So
right.
I was thinking of bringing some cattle or something. And, yeah. The one where, I'm sure I have no reason to doubt these aren't all fabulous people. But, you know, one went as far as to build a nice, probably 10-foot wide pad for a freeway scale wrecker. And it comes home Yeah, lucky for me, it's just around the corner, but the poor folks that come out the front door and there's this thing broadside. So,
it's a semi.
If the committee accepts, I can kind of make some comment on this since we are in member 8 right now.
It's just public comment time. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, to give you a heads up, and you'll see a little bit later in the agenda, we are just getting into Cameron Park number 8 on this neighborhood campaign. And right now, as you can see, we just did home to home and step of that. Some of the things that we found in there were conflicting to the CCNRs, as you pointed out. So yes, we can extend that and move the NADA as well and add that to the campaign as we continue to move here, and we will. I do know that we have a conflict with a lot of our CCNRs. Things, in my opinion, sometimes unfair for neighboring neighborhoods. Some CCNRs say you cannot have any trailered item or wrecked vehicle or anything on the property, while the very next neighborhood says you can store them behind a fence line. What we look for primarily in these neighborhood campaigns are those things that are out in the frontage and out in those
suburbs. By the lake.
So that's why. Based on the CCNRs, we will make a determination on how we're going to move forward in that neighborhood.
This neighborhood.
Based on fairness and kind of good neighbor policy.
Sure.
Of how, what we're going to request of them. In the case of the large rake, as I would call it, that's pretty much a tractor.
Now I get it, mind.
Those actually are not allowed on the streets in Cameron Park per a large
drive.
So you will have to file a complaint there as well. We will still work it. However, when they're in the streets, sometimes it's very difficult for us to determine which address they belong to. So we have methods of trying to make sure that that person knows they're being watched. One of them is just like a traffic violation ticket. Put it in the window.
These are on the police officer.
That one is sitting on the lawn.
But I want to let you know that you also have the other avenue if you want for that.
It's like
and we will do our best to try to identify that. The other
that's
thing I have to let you know is I can use these photos for our own investigative purposes. But the case files that we build.
And that's like the asphalt.
Sure. No worries. That was just
talking. Yeah, that's pretty much the rundown. I just wanted to let you
to
know
the
that
side of it.
We'll definitely get on it for you and a little bit of
I think it's worth mentioning, it's an anonymous process, too. If you have a problem, your name is not ever disclosed. Is that not correct?
If there's a records request, we do black out and omit names and contacts, yes.
Do it. And on the architectural side, do I have 30 seconds for one other comment?
Please, go ahead.
Okay. I brought this up with Mr. Grassley in the full board meeting last time, and that was just the no-cost replacement by PG&E of the street lamps. If you haven't had a chance to go and look at those abominations, I would ask that you put like a temporary stop on them making those changes. I appreciate those lighting districts are upside down, the ones that don't have the provision for the budget, but from the aesthetics perspective, they're really awful. If you go and look at them, they have these cages that kind of look like the old style, that are these amber lights. They're soft ones, they're pretty attractive, but not the greatest light source. But the new ones are kind of on par with looking inside your microwave oven. There's no glass, it's just the metal rod, so it kind of looks like somebody shot it out with a pellet gun. And you're looking right at the bulb. It's just, you know, whatever shape that LED is. And I think Mike had said it's like some 3,000 watt. I don't know if element's the right word for an LED. But so, there, you know, if I lived with one of those right in the yard.
This would fall under the architectural committee purview, no? CCNR?
No.
No, okay.
It falls
think
under LEDs, so it is Mike's department.
Yes. Okay.
So okay. I would encourage you to maybe send Mike an email.
I'll follow up with him. We had a good cordial conversation last week.
He and I had talked about it.
You're not the first one to make that comment, too.
Okay. All right. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cooksey. Any other comments from the public that's not on the agenda?
I do have a comment. I'd like to know, because I'm on here, I'm at 3589 Castlebrook Road.
Oh, that's okay. Well, we can come to that.
Yeah, it's on the agenda, so okay. We will certainly address that. Thank you. All right. If there is nothing further, the open forums ended. Monthly staff report, Jim.
Okay, we're moving on. We currently have 61 cases open. Of those 61 cases, in the CCNR report, we have 15 courtesy notices, 8 initial notices, 5 final notices, 5 pre-legal notices, 0 referred to legal at this time, and 3 for outside agents. We have 9 clear cases last month, and we had 19 clear cases last month. Some of those new cases we're still investigating, make sure that we have clear and precise information with our inspections in order to move forward. So, is there any questions on that CCNR report portion?
What were the outside agencies you referred to?
Outside agency, we have one that's a house that we turned over to CAL FIRE. It's on Hillcrest. It's one of your first homes on the left coming up Hillcrest. It is a massive fire danger. They have a lot of dried out pallets. Obviously, right now they'd be moist. But lots of old pallets stacked in the yard, dilapidated fence. The siding is falling off the home. And I did do an inspection with Chief Richards at the, last year before weed abatement, because there is a specific time period in which they can work on developed properties outside of weed abatement. There's a whole state law about this, so it was turned over to him. That's one of them. We have another one that is in a neighborhood that has one of the illegal structure on it that was turned over to code enforcement. And the last one that has been turned over outside of Royal Park Court, on this case, it's the Country Club Drive at Royal, which continues to be a problem that we've worked with APS, Sheriff's Department, Code Enforcement. It was abated and cleaned up at one time, and all the problems are back. So we're still trying to get the outside agencies to help out. Any more questions? Okay. On the architectural review, that time of the year, it was a very slow month. Only 9 projects were brought in, and 9 were reviewed, 9 were approved. That's 2 roofs, 1 solar, 1 fence, 1 swimming pool, 2 siding replacements, and 1 window replacement. We'll start seeing an uptick in these coming in. Projects will start.
Next on the agenda is the pre-legal request action item. Staff is seeking approval of the following. CCNR 23-1008, 3210 Bentley Drive. The Highland number 5 clause, building regulation, vehicle storage, resident rotates trailer, big rig in frontage, side yard. 3 notices have been sent through final notice. Staff is requesting pre-legal approval from the CCNR committee. Committee members, have any questions on this?
I see visuals.
Jim?
Could you give us a time frame, too? How long has this been going on?
This case.
February.
So it was approximately February. The case is, and as you know, we don't restart violations. We don't start back up with courtesy notice. If they've been warned on the same violation, we just pick up where we left. one at one point did have, you can see here, the trailer was removed at 3:15:23, the case was cleared, and then it came back in and we had a complaint, and this then turned into kind of a storage yard for his neighbors on these cases. If you notice, one of these trailers, this one right here, is oftentimes in another yard. So now it's back behind the fence line as required in the other yard, and in its place has come out the big rig. And in El Dorado County, those are not allowed on any lot here. So we've gotten no action on this. This is a property managed property, so it is a rental property. Oftentimes with rental properties, it does take until we get to legal.
Will CHP help us out on those big rigs?
Code enforcement would, but in all honesty, sometimes we have just quicker action through our department. And since this started with trailer, we're just kind of following through. So either way, it's still a vehicle storage violation. So we're moving forward and we're requesting pre-legal action to try and get some response from the property management.
The property management hasn't responded at all?
Not yet.
What's been your experience with property management?
It almost always takes until at least pre-legal. And then once we get through that with that agency or that property management company, a good example, I've got one property management company that's out of Chicago. They have, that I've found, probably about 5 or 6 properties here in Cameron Park that we have had under violation. Now that we have their attention, we start getting better response before getting to pre-legal.
Does the property manager own them, or are they just managing them for some other owner?
That's a good question, but when it comes to GIS, it's listed as the property management group as the owner.
Okay.
So, I mean, how they're doing their paperwork and how they're listing it with the county might be something different. But this particular one, this was the first one we've come up against this agency. Mm-hmm. So that's a little time. But the one we've dealt with in Chicago, we went to legal on one, and ever since then, on other properties that they have, they usually take action.
So the owner of the property is in Tempe, Arizona?
That's what I'm reading. Yeah.
Okay. And there's a separate property management company you're dealing with?
No, if I'm not mistaken, this one says, yeah, it's listing on right there. Mm-hmm. Open Door Property Management.
Open Door Property Trust.
Most people put rentals in a trust.
Family trust. That's
yeah. Right.
But as you noted, usually when I see an address on a state, it's oftentimes owned by someone.
Right. Okay. All right. So, any other questions for Jim?
Does this require a motion?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have a motion?
So I move that we move forward with the two pre-legal requests, and they are CCR 23-1008 3210 Bentley Drive and CCR 23-1084 at 3793 Archwood Road, both Cameron Park.
You haven't addressed the second one yet, huh?
We didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to do them both.
I know you guys have data from.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm out of you there. Okay, then why don't we just do the second one then? Yeah, make the motion accordingly.
Let me go back to that.
Make your motion on A.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Before we make the motion, do we have any public comment on this?
Good point. Thank you.
Having heard no public comment, go ahead and.
Okay, I will change the motion to approve CCR 23-1008 at 3210 Bentley Drive, Highlands number 5, to move to pre-legal.
Okay, we have a motion. Second. You have a motion and second. Any other discussion on this subject? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimously. Pre-legal motion is approved on 3210 Bentley Drive. Next item on the agenda is the CCNR 23-1084 3793 Archwood Road. Improperly stored material. Owner has a large pile of mulch in the driveway for nearly a year. The neighborhood has filed several complaints to the CSD Fire Department. Owner has received 4 notices through final notice without any response. Staff is requesting pre-legal approval from CC&R committee.
That's like a mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If I may comment.
Please.
Okay. It did make it all the way through last year's fire season and somehow got around Cal Fire as well.
Did Cal Fire actually go and ring the doorbell or whatever or notice them?
I don't know if this one hit their radar. But anyway, we have been working on this case now since about, it's CC&R 2314, so it was again February, March where this case is open.
You could bend that over that point.
Or excuse me, 2384. So it was towards the end of the year. It was July, August.
December 4th, right?
Well, and yeah, I'm looking at just a street view pic of it. And it's not that pile, but it is another drier, older pile. It looks like just
added more.
Yeah, it's their.
It makes you curious why they need to continuously bring in that much mulch.
Well, they're not using it.
Well, maybe they are. Going towards that. For what purposes, we don't know.
I wonder what their electric bill looks like.
As you know, we don't hang over houses.
You get a drone, though.
No.
So
not going there. Give people their privacy in the back.
So we're
with the exception of chickens.
So the pile is what we're getting. We're citing for here.
Yeah, and I mean the stuff over off to the left also looks like busted up asphalt or busted up concrete.
Yeah.
Either way, the biggest complaint that's coming from the neighborhood is obviously the fire concern.
Are you getting any complaints about the condition of the landscaping?
No, this is not one of those that has a landscape requirement.
All right.
There's a lot of neighborhoods that don't have a landscape requirement.
All right.
As long as your weeds are taken care of, if it's a natural landscape, it's acceptable, with exception of Eastwood Park and Cameron Woods and Cameron Meadows.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Well, before we take a motion, do we have any public comment on this request, this matter? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve Jim's request for pre-legal?
I move to approve a pre-legal notice for 3793 Archwood Road.
Thank you, Tim. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Sid, thanks. We have a motion to approve 3793 Archwood Road pre-legal. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Jim, your motion, the 3793 Archwood Road, Cameron Park North, number 2, is now approved for pre-legal.
Thank you.
Next item, not an action item, staff updates.
Okay, as you know, it was about a couple of months ago, CCR 23-1014, 2885 Holly Hills for that frontage fence that was over 7 feet tall. The applicant or the homeowner did come in, file an application to correct the fence, take it down, reduce it. What they did is they completed the rest of their plan, in which case, as you come to your setback and your frontage, you have to start a step down to either 40 inches closed construction or 42 inches open construction, 50% open construction. So he is going to do the closed construction, step down to the 42 inches. When he gets back up to his setback allowance, he'll step it back up and he'll put a man gate off of the garage, before the garage, leading up the walkway to his front door. And they will still have an allowable frontage fence to enclose the front yard.
And that was the one on the concrete bricks?
That was, they had poured...
They put a lot of money into
like
that
block
property.
Wall.
And understandably so, because of the watershed in there.
Right.
and we considered finish grade of the back side of that, because that's a lot
on top of that.
To be where
so that 42 inches from the bottom or so from the top?
County can still maybe look into that in their own right, but what we determined here in this committee was that it would be acceptable from the interior lot finish grade to put that fence up 40 inches.
So that 42 inches, that from the top of that block,
it cement block? It would be from the top of that retaining wall, yeah. Because it varies also.
So you consider retaining wall to be the grade?
On one side, it's only like a foot and a half.
Okay.
On the other side, it comes out to about two and three-quarter feet. So, and that's also where the culvert is that runs under the road. So without having that there, and he also didn't help his neighbors improve to divert what goes under the road, and out towards the watershed.
Okay.
So, you know, for the most part, the gentleman has done a lot to help out his neighborhood, but we do what we could to help him get that fence up, just not compound style, blocking off.
Right.
And clearly making it a non-visual access to the road from his neighbors, because that was also being blocked visibly.
Right.
His neighbors would have to come out to the street to see around the fence. So ARC approved it, and we gave them 90 days to start the project, plus a reasonable time to consider. And later we have it marked on the 25th to review and make sure that he's taken care of. The other one that we have, actually this gentleman here, is for CCR 23-1053, 3589 Castlebrook Road. This is the vehicle parking and storage. This is where we had since 2020 in our records, continuing to notice the trailers come out, and we send a notice, and he takes care of it every time we send a notice. But then it comes back out, we have to revive the case, send the next notice. And it continues on. So since that last notice, the trailer has been removed. And
how do you send out your notices? Did I get only one notice, or did you send out a previous notice that I missed?
This was the fourth notice we got.
For that trailer?
No, not for that trailer.
Oh, okay.
But it's still the same violation, trailer died.
I know, but I thought I missed something.
No.
So I'm understanding your process a little bit more here. Okay. Do you have the pictures of the previous?
I believe we do. And if you could, go ahead and address your name to the committee.
My name's Dan Augino. I'm at 3589 Castlebrook Road.
So this is the current one.
Okay.
That was the trailer that you had just had.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's, and like I noted in the there, that this was taken care of, I think it was about a week and a half.
Just one question.
Yeah.
The committee members have any questions before we take questions from him?
Yeah, before we move on to the public comment, let's make sure we take care of our end of things.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the pictures and just hear a review of the case. I appreciate that.
So this was the last violation we had in 2022. This one was out, and again, upon notice, it was put away. And this is back in 2020. So this time it was the boat and the jet ski package. So, as you can see, you know, these files, they stay ongoing, like we've talked and ruled in committee, as long as it's under the same property owner, we can carry over the case. And if they come back out, we send them next notice. So, at this time, the resident received pre-legal notice, and the violation was once again taken care of. And he does have really good storage capabilities back there. Granted, he's on a slope lot. That does create some difficulty. But when we ask him to put things away, he puts them away back there. And we appreciate it.
So right now there's no violations?
Currently there is not a violation. Currently the second floor. And I think we did another inspection today.
How big is the lot?
Just under an acre.
That's a good size lot then. It's like a double lot, okay, at least.
Mm-hmm.
questions and would like the resident to speak?
Yeah, please.
Okay, could you pull up those pictures again? I know that you have this. I've got your notices. I use my boat 2 or 3 times a week. I go out after work, and so it's never really in the same place because unhooking it and backing it in my backyard is very narrow. Unfortunately, when I bought the house, it was so close to the property line that it's really hard to back it up in there. But I do put it away during the winter time because I pass at the lake and I boat. If I'm not there 3 times a week, I'm there 4 or 5 times a week. So I usually pull up and let the boat drain out and stuff, and then I'm out the next day or the following day. So I'm going to ask for a little grace in that. If you look at my home, I'm well taken care of. My house is well painted. My lawn is always manicured. I've paved the dirt areas and with pavers, and I've done a lot of work to the house. I care about my house, how my house looks. I've driven around Cameron Park. I see that, you know, there are some people that don't care, and I see other vehicles that are out there. But I have a few questions that I would like to ask because I'm not familiar with every code that's in the CC&Rs.
Sure.
But I was thinking, because I do use my boat a lot, and I heard you mention something about a frontage fence. It can only be 7 foot tall. I mean, if I were to fence off close to my house and store my stuff behind that fence, would that be acceptable?
If only within your setback. So you have a 30-foot setback in your neighborhood.
For 30-foot setback to what?
30-foot setback from the edge of road, back up. And I know that your house is set back more than 30 feet.
Yeah.
So your question is then, what happens is if you wanted to, like, pull out a fence out to here, let's say it's 30 feet from here to about here.
Yeah.
Then theoretically, yeah, you can bring that fence line out.
Okay.
And you can go up to the 7 foot mark.
Can I point out that? Because what I was thinking is I was going to take out some of this grass, and I wouldn't put it close to the road, but way back in here, where I built a fence the same color as the house with the yellow and stucco and stuff like that, and be able to back it in there, and you wouldn't be able to see it from the road. Would that be acceptable? And you said it was a 7 foot height requirement?
Yeah, until you come in, and once you enter into that setback, then it has to drop down a little bit. So it's 40 inches closed construction.
I don't know what that means.
So closed construction means you can put the pickets butt to butt.
Right.
50% open construction would literally be every other plant.
Okay.
So like your white picket fence.
Yeah,
that's
what
And in a case like this, one of the things that we try not to do is block the frontage. So, I mean, I can understand that if you pulled this fence line down and wanted to take some of that line out and then maybe use that in there, it would be up to the committees to determine whether or not to allow that 30-foot setback and then close it off.
Yeah, because this is 30 feet right to here. This is probably about 30 foot right to there.
That's kind of what I'm suspecting.
Yeah, and it would be beyond that. It'd be further back than that. But I was thinking about, you know, because I had planted, since I moved in here in 2012, I planted Italian cypress, I planted trees, I put in lawn, irrigation system. I'm sure you probably saw the backhoe because it took me a year and a half to 2 years to get this squared away.
And we noticed additional construction go on in here.
Yeah, and redid the front steps. It looked like crap.
It did change the look of your house. It should have come through ARC, but I was kind of like, not going to beat them up on that. I'm more concerned about keeping
it
lined
up. Yeah, and I am too. I just want to know what the rules are so that I can do this without having to back that in my backyard when I take it out.
But you can also bring this side down.
What's that?
You can also bring this side down to the 30-foot, in which case, like you said, your boat, that amount of space, you would be able to slide your boat in.
So I can bring the fence this way? Because this side...
What I'm saying is, in line with the side of your house, out to the 30-foot setback, would give you plenty of room for your boat and maybe even your jet skis.
Okay.
And then you've got that long runway up to Cameron Park Drive, in which case you put the trailer and the boat in there now. Now, I will be honest with you. We go by this property probably 3-4 times. So we do know when your stuff is out.
Yeah.
And we do know that it is out beyond the timeline of staging period.
So you see me working and replacing the roof on my toy hauler. You see me replace the generator. I mean, I work on my own stuff, so I have it there sometimes. I have storage for that because it's so big, but I have to work on it from time to time. So what's your grace period on if I'm redoing something? Because I'm always replacing carpet or doing something and improving it. And I should be able to do that in my front driveway without...
What we do have is and I don't hear what you're saying. What we do is, even if our CCNRs do not have a staging period written, we still follow that kind of neighborhood policy of telling people, hey, 48 hours... If the CCNR says 72 hours, okay, it's 72 hours. But we do try to give people staging period of time. Now, granted, if you're in and out 3 days a week, I'd rather you not take advantage of that scenario. If you had the means of pulling it up into that spot and draining it, if you wanted to pull a fence line out and do that, be fine with that. You know, like a quick release, in and out type of thing, what you're talking about. But you have a lot of toys. And also, from what I've also seen, you also sometimes will come home with a flatbed trailer and a backhoe or something like that from work. Understood. We have that occasion. We don't want it, but we have that occasion. So if we were going on, I mean, hitting you like a hawk from 2020, we would have been much past the pre-legal.
That little backhoe tractor is mine. It's my neighbor's using it. Loaned it to my neighbor. That was on the trailer that I brought.
Yeah.
But that's my little tractor. And I'm not a contractor. I work for the high school district.
Right.
Matter of fact, if you guys remember me, you asked my advice on your solar. I'm the director of maintenance facilities for the high school district.
Yeah.
You hired ARC Alternatives as your consultant for your solar.
Yeah.
And so you guys, I met with you because I did all the high school.
And you and I have met in the past.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have played Grace on your property and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I wanted to know because, you know, when I go around and I drive around, because when you get noticed, like, you look around and see, guys, am I the only one? And I'm up on the hill. It's easier to see than someone who's down lower on the hill.
Yeah.
You know?
Cameron Park number one, though, our neighborhood, your neighborhood, gets clean. There's a few out there. I'll give you a good example. Across Castlebrook, up Eagle Way, Eagle View, there is somebody that brings out their trailer. And this might be something you might want to consider when you're doing repairs. They don't have any storage for their trailer at all. If they're going to be past that 48 hours, they'll shoot my department an email and say, hey, Jim, we're in between trips. We're coming off of this one, then we're going to this one, so my trailer might be out there 3-4 days. And they'll do that. I'll type back, hey, thank you for the heads up. I make a date on the a note on the date that it'll be there for how long duration, and we could let it go. And that's one of the ways we work with our residents. If it's going to exceed this staging period, or you know you're doing some work on it, shoot us an email. Try to be fair with us because we do get complaints. When in a neighborhood like Cameron Park Number One, we've been working that. That was the first one that I started on when I came here. So case logs go back to 2019 in there. But if you drive all of Cameron Park Drive, or Fairway Drive,
I walk.
It's pretty darn clean.
Yeah.
Compared to some of our other neighborhoods.
And
one of the things I appreciate about Cameron Park Number One, it's got the smallest set of CCNRs, but it's all black and white, and it keeps a cleaner neighborhood. And I think I'm really appreciative of all the residents, including you. Like I said, as soon as I send you a notice, it's
I know that house didn't have any landscaping in. It was just all dirt and weeds.
No, you did a lot of work on that place, yeah.
So.
And that looks good. I appreciate you coming.
All right. If I could get your email before I leave today, that'd be great. I'm going to hang out and listen to the rest of the meeting.
Yeah,
and I want to just say from the committee's point of view, we're not looking to go out of our way to enforce. We're looking to solutions for you and your neighbors and maintaining the property values and all that. So to the degree that you can come up with an idea that kind of deals with this, that's very helpful. Yeah.
And also, as you're thinking of this kind of stuff, feel free to contact us. And we can even set an appointment, come out and help you kind of, okay, this is what we see as far as your setback. This is what we think you can get past.
Right.
And help you out with that project.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about doing a fence with Italian cypress. Just, you know, so it's vegetation. It's not a
Ebbing wall is another way of screening.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Next item, Jim.
Just the update on neighborhood campaign.
Right. Town Park, number 8.
Which Kevin Pixie here brought up. So with that and with the public comment, we're going to continue to work on El Tajon and whatnot right now. The only thing we sent out neighborhood campaign for on this was the trailer items. It was El Tajon and Estepa. Had a number of them to a point where we said, okay, let's do a neighborhood campaign notice on this. And if you're on that street and didn't have a violation, of course you did not get that letter. But everybody that had a vehicle storage item received that letter. And I think it wasn't huge. I think it was like 8 or 10 letters that went out. But we noticed it there, and it triggered us to do the campaign. We haven't gone through all the way through, but we'll move over to Granada. We can get to that on Matters to him from the members. So that's it for our committee reports or our staff reports.
Okay.
Takes us to number 6.
Thank you, Jim. The next item is items for future CCNR committee agendas. Anything from the committee?
I'd just like to see the items from last meeting's request show up on that list. So I'll be investigating and how to get the case dates.
Well, you can answer that in our next segment. Yeah.
And the discussing your outreach will answer there.
They got ready to discuss 2 matters from the committee and staff, too. Okay, so if that's the case, and if we need to move back up and add something for the next agenda, we can discuss that on members to and from staff. So on to number 7.
Item 7, take to the Board of Directors.
Don't have any additional legal stuff moving forward. We're going to get to it in the next part.
Well, matters to and from committee members and staff.
Okay, now that comes down. We did prepare something for you for comment. One of them was outreach. And Alan had me do an outline of all the different outreach programs this department does, which is extremely extensive. So just to remind you guys, go ahead, Alan, and review some of these outreach programs.
This is an exemplary list. Does not include everything that they do. But they do the neighborhood campaigns. They go out with educational processes, full regular neighborhood inspections, violations, exceed amount. They move to a campaign. The campaign blankets all residents in that area with a letter. They have a violation of some sort. Letters are the same, so neighbors talk and help each other out. From there, we do an additional inspection a month later, list any homes remaining with violations, receive a violation notice, and this is an overlapping process from neighborhood to neighborhood. Second, staff works with the front office to do an e-newsletter. It's an item for the newsletter that we send out each month. For example, include recreational vehicles in the spring that are in the wrong place, trash materials during the summer, watershed issues in the fall, and website updates. Third item is in the activity guide. The department places material used for educating folks about the CCNRs and ARC. Describe the type of community amenities and responsibilities, and it's the companion to the newsletter. On-site assistance. Staff meets with the property owners working on a new project or a violation, and they come and provide a layout of the allowances to help residents get their project or violation under control for completion. staff put together packets of material that are provided to the Welcome Wagon folks to service our community. And you know, most people who move in don't know the CCNRs. And staff does a site visit to help review the packet with the folks, which includes a map of all of our parks, activity guide, newsletter, neighborhood CCNR in which the resident lives, a guide to understanding the CCNR, and a guide to requesting approval for all park projects.
How do our residents, new residents, get identified for those packages?
Oftentimes it's a violation that's appeared. And with the activity that we are out in the field as frequently as we're in the field, we remember when for sale signs go up, we remember when there's a change out. We did two of these last week, and these were on properties that I know had changed hands because I worked with the previous property owners prior, getting their storage set up, and then the new owner comes in with a trailer. So it's a friendly experience. We knock on the door, we introduce ourselves, we welcome to the neighborhood, and talk to them about their CCNRs. And they just usually, actually in every case that we've done a welcome wagon, we've never had a violation that comes forth from that property afterwards. It usually starts with a violation though, and that's where we identify it. And then we'll go to the GIS performed by the county, and we'll look up and notice the CCNR files versus GIS property owner exchange. We don't get any notification that this month here's your change out. We don't have that. So it's done by experience.
Could we do that?
We've looked into it a number of times before. Mm-hmm. At this point, I don't have the staff for it. And so when we looked into it,
so because
it was actually general manager that was looking at the front office to do that kind of work.
Uh-huh.
Because we're already busting at the seams above and beyond what our job scope is.
Well, but the time spent sending out a welcome package to a list of, I don't know how many residents turn over here per month,
we
could result in a significant savings in time to address even a couple problem new neighbors. I mean, that's really good outreach if it gets to them when they move in and not a year later.
And that's where, when we get down to this next one, real estate education,
yeah,
that's where we lean on for that. So,
provide packets, provide materials to real estate agencies and service in this district. And, you know, they don't always follow through for us, but we talk to them, we give them pamphlets and things to provide to residents, new residents.
And if I'm going to jump over the map just for a minute, because I get obviously these go. So Sid remembers I was down at his real estate agency, and I did a presentation for.
And they actually meet monthly here in our building. Yeah,
and that's our next step. GM and I, Alan and I, have sat down and we've talked about getting in front of that car as a whole. And I think that this. It would be nice, I think I made a mention here, that it would be nice if we can get in there a couple times annually.
You know, the county reporter should be able to give you a list of all the properties that have closed in Cameron Park.
And I've been, again, I sat down with the previous general manager and we discussed a lot of different ways. What's unique is the paper will list them out for El Dorado Hills, CSD, but they don't list them out.
Yeah. It's so on.
Yeah, they don't host them for Cameron Park.
Yeah.
It's funny because they kind of stole our welcome wagon campaign, and they utilize it now in El Dorado Hills, but the tools were given to them from the newspaper. So I hear what you're saying, and it's something that I've discussed with previous general managers, because to do this, I need help. I really do. And it's just a matter of packaging and mailing them out, like Tim says. But it would really be a help if there's somebody up in reception or something like that could help us perform.
I guess my comment would be it's not really outreach if they're having to come to you for the information. Right?
No, but at the same time, read your title documents.
Yeah, everybody signs that they read their CCR and their title documents.
Yeah, that's
It's there.
You know what?
Well, we all understand that in this room.
And we don't have a lot.
I did before I was on this committee.
Staff to babysit, absolutely.
Some people do.
Well, again, we're talking about outreach here, and it's something you plan for in your budget at the beginning of the year, and you set aside time to do it. And so I would just encourage you to,
we don't budget for that, and we can't budget for it.
Well, you could, and we could approve it.
Have you seen the budgets for this department?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. So we also do the MAP meetings. That's outsourced agencies meet once per quarter to review overlapping cases. And then we also, that's outside agencies because we do request a lot of help. Again, real estate, we're going to get in front of them and ask for more help and this kind of stuff. In which case, we'll be asking them for, you know, where are you getting your listings? How are you knowing it? They may have some more education. If you know Candace, then you can go to the recruiter's office and get something like that. The best information we have that can come up to that front desk for our GM to help put something together on those welcome wagons. I agree. The welcome wagon is probably one of the best ways to educate new residents. I really do agree with you on that, too. However, at this point, we're struggling just to keep up with just the CC door stuff.
So how about title companies? Could they offer that?
Mm-hmm.
Part of what we're trying to do. But the problem is that in our budget was set
way back
at a time, and there is zero escalation in the DCNR budget that's provided for when they were set up.
So there's no resources for staff time or anything?
You know, it's super thin. And we're working with 16 people doing the job of about 25 to 30 right now. And so there isn't any extra time. My day is 14 hours today.
Our budget in CCNR is so restrictive now that it doesn't even sustain my salary. So my salary plus what we would like to do, it doesn't sustain it. It's one thing that we're going to have to look at down the road as to how we're going to employ this department as well as do the stuff that even the outreach programs, which we didn't have any outreach until I came on board. We occasionally had a workshop in here that always turned ugly. The new methods that I've been putting together are more individualized and more of a neighborhood, be a good neighbor type of thing. So we're definitely going to have to look at how are we going to fund this department without having the residents pony up for some more money. That right now they're only charged $12 per unit per year.
And there's no way to get more than that.
No, and they have to bring it forward. We cannot promote it. So when you look at it that way, right now, I've been asked for the last 4 years from the board to get a new vehicle because ours is taped up. Literally taped up and wired with bailing wire. We need to get a new vehicle. In which case, we just settled a lien. I should have that lien paperwork taken care of. It brought us over $13,000 to our department. It will be put into fund balance, but I think it's understood with our finance department that if we do find that vehicle, then we can pull it back out of fund balance in order to pay for that vehicle.
Well, I would be cautious to make that statement until the board authorizes you to make that purchase. So.
It'll go back to the board, too, in order to make that purchase.
Yes.
But the board is asking us to make that purchase. And with that, we don't have the funding to update our computers out of my budget or out of the CCNR budget. In the last couple of years, we've had to strip it down to just salaries and vehicle maintenance. Pretty much. Vehicle maintenance, legal budget, salaries. It's pretty much what it's been stripped down to.
Okay.
Last one we do, if you want to make a comment, Alan, Alan goes to the Rotary as much as he can, and then we try to make an attempt to be there once a month. One of the reasons why we do make a presence at Rotary is board members, as you know, Rotary helps us out quite a bit. and they hear when we need something, and they do step forward and help us out in any needs they can. So the additional work that we're doing, and Alan, and I've got 4 more minutes here. So right now we don't have a board clerk, so all of our departments have to do our own board clerk duties. It takes a lot of time from each one of our departments. Because we've had a lot of manager change-ups, 3 managers in 3 years, my department's been doing LAFCO meetings with new developers. My department's been working with new developers for new communities. And because of the change-out at the front, everything comes into our inbox, and then we kind of play phone director and get them back up to the proper departments as our front people learn the process. And then the multi-agency abatement team, that's also something we put on that's above and beyond what our wages and our job scope includes. One thing that Alan also wanted me to point out, we are working on, one, getting in front of EDCAR so that we can talk to them at least biannually about CC&R. And you might appreciate this, Tim. We were able to find a student that does incredible media packages. In which case, at one time, I think I showed you guys or asked you guys to go home, look on YouTube, and look at Are You a Good Neighbor from Mountain House? That's what we're going to do. So we've engaged with him. He has agreed to do the job. He graduates, and he'll be at Folsom Lake College this next year. And we want to put him together to do drone footage of our parks, our CSD. And at the end of this, it'll also say, in residence, with these amenities comes your own obligations. And we'll educate them on CC&Rs and ARC. It'll be an item that we can put on YouTube, that we can deliver to every real estate agency, that will be on our website, and that will be up here. And when we get a screen, it'll be in our lobby, all this flowing. This is something that we've been talking about for several years. It's always had the support, but the budget has always been an issue. So that's why we went to a student. And at my last, at Ponderosa's orientation is where I came into this class, and I asked the teacher, do you have somebody that can do this? And he said, matter of fact, I do.
Nice.
So he came in, we met with us, and met with me and Alan, showed us some of his work. And we have some confidence that it can be done he can do a pretty good job.
Yeah,
we'll take it piece by piece. Not promising it will get done at this point, because we haven't stepped into doing the product yet. But as we go along step by step, we'll have more and more confidence or change into a different direction. We can definitely keep you from that.
Was this a document, a memo, something that you can attach to the meeting agenda minutes?
What's that?
What you just presented there.
Most of it, yes.
Yeah, if you could attach that to the meeting notes, since it wasn't an attachment, I'd appreciate it. I had another question. Commercial development in Cameron Park. What do we take any part in approvals associated with that? And why not?
The CSD services residential community. We do not service the commercial community in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I wonder if our... So we elect not to, is basically the answer.
No, it's not we elect to. The CSD is only here for residential communities. It's not here for commercial.
We provide commercial solid waste services to our
businesses. We do a contract with Eldorado Disposal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We contract with them. But we do not have any jurisdictional, per the county. The county handles everything.
Well, I think we elect not to is basically the bottom.
No, we don't.
Way.
You can ask the county.
If you look at our formation documents, we have broad discretion as to what we review and approve and take responsibility for too. Like one of my pet peeves is the drain, stormwater management agency for the county covers stormwater management issues for the whole entire county, yet extorted $25,000 from us last year to do a study of the drainage at Cameron Park.
Yeah, I think that's a question better for
our county manager. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about here, other than the fact that there's things that we could take responsibility for, but we don't want to. So it sounds like perhaps that's one of them. We don't. The county approves whatever happens in our commercial districts, basically.
Mm-hmm. They have their own design review committee specific to Cameron Park.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments?
My wife's an architect. She's been through it quite a few times.
Okay.
If there was a chance on the storm, Bureau of Land Management is the party that chooses not to put in proper canals and drainage on its land and sweep down into us.
Oh, yeah, I'm not arguing about the drainage stuff other than the fact that we could take responsibility for that if we wanted to.
And we get no tax dollars for commercial properties either.
Anyway, it's 6:32, and you have no other comments, then I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I so move.
Second.
Okay. This meeting's adjourned.
Yeah.
Have a good evening, right, everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a project, but I didn't bring it to work.
I assume
I just turned it on.
Yeah. Did
we
stop?
You got to stop.
I got to write a check. You probably have it all digital, right?
So you can see it here.